Hi, I am Darlene with SeniorLivingGuide.com. Thank you for joining us on this podcast episode. If you enjoy our Senior Focus podcast, we can be downloaded and followed most anywhere you enjoy your podcasts, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and many more. We thank our sponsor, SeniorLivingGuide.com, and their online users who are able to enjoy our website with a one-stop solution to help seniors and their caregivers find and connect with the best next step in senior living or home health in all easy to navigate website. It's easy peasy. So today we have our guests in the studio. We have Dr. Pam Trinetti and Janet Rooks. We'd like to welcome you both. Dr. Trinetti is an osteopathic physician who specializes in geriatrics. Janet Rooks is a social worker and a dementia care specialist. They work together at the Parish Senior Consultation Center, where they focus on the care of patients with dementia. Dr. Trinetti is the Director of Aging Services at Parish, and Janet Rooks coordinates Parish Senior Solutions, which provides education, resources, and support for seniors and caregivers. So today we're going to talk about 10 shocking things you may not know about Alzheimer's. So how did we come up with this title today, ladies?
Well, we're just kind of getting on board with the World Wide Web here. And we noticed that as we're scrolling through our phone information, we see 10 shocking things.
Yes.
Or one weird trick.
Right.
So we thought, heck, we'll just jump on that bandwagon.
You know, it's called clickbait. And with that, you go on that website and often you're disappointed.
Right.
You know, you're disappointed because there's not a lot of information there.
Right.
Or there might be one thing there and it may or may not be what you're looking for.
Right. Clickbait is a huge thing these days.
Yes.
So let's start a countdown on the 10 shocking but truthful things that we're going to talk about today.
Absolutely. And you will not be disappointed. Now, of course, the name of the title includes Alzheimer's,
right,
but we're talking about all the dementias because, you know, we've talked about this. There's about 50 different causes. 85% or so of our patients in the United States who have some kind of dementia, it's Alzheimer's or vascular dementia from mini strokes. Mm-hmm. So countdown number 10, long-term memory is not affected until late in the disease. And people will ask, now wait a minute, Doc, how come my loved one remembers vacations we've had and the kids growing up and their job, but they don't remember what happened yesterday?
Yeah, and sometimes after the relative refuses to believe that there's even anything wrong with that, their loved one will start telling detailed stories about things that happened years and years ago, and they say, oh, there's nothing wrong.
Right.
You know, but they can't tell you what they did earlier today. They'll mull over those stories, and they've retold those stories over and over and over.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's more of a short-term memory loss.
It is. And that's true, that we'll have one caregiver who says, Mom's memory's going, it's going, mm-hmm. and then somebody calls from out of town, oh, no, she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she told me where she bought candy when she was a kid, mm-hmm. you know, where her first job was. But when you ask, it's the short-term immediate memory mm-hmm. loss. Now, let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
There is a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which literally means seahorse, because when the anatomists used to cut the brain apart, this looks like a little seahorse sitting deep mm-hmm. in the brain. It's the filing clerk. So when I say to you, hey, let's go out to lunch tomorrow. I'll meet you at the Village Inn at noon.
Mm-hmm.
That hippocampus grabs that information and stores it away mm-hmm. for at least a day until you need it again.
Right.
When the hippocampus is damaged, and that especially happens in Alzheimer's,
mm-hmm.
you tell somebody that who has Alzheimer's disease, and an hour later they say, so what are we doing tomorrow for lunch? We're going to the Village Inn. I'm going to meet you at noon. And 2 hours later they say, you know where we haven't been in a while? The Village Inn. We mm-hmm. should go there sometime. And by this time, the caregiver's going, we are going there tomorrow. You are meeting me at noon.
Right.
And you get frustrated because the person's asking over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But to them, it's like it never happened.
Right.
Yeah. They don't have the ability to store that new memory. So one way to compensate for this is a dry eraser board. I love the dry eraser boards. You can get them at the dollar store for a dollar.
Right.
And, you know, and write that information down. Now, I'm not talking about a narrative. I'm talking about write the date down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, today is, you know, Friday,
May
21st, 2021. We're going to the Village Inn at noon to have lunch. Just that.
Like you would do if it were like a business.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like a boardroom.
Yeah, absolutely. Just that. And, you know, the, you can even write the menu on there. Mm-hmm. Like today is, and we're having for dinner, meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they ask you for that question, you know, what are we going to do? Go look at the board in a very kind, reassuring manner, not go look at the board. And so it becomes a habit. It becomes a routine because with people with dementia, routine is very, very important. And it will become important so that when you're over peeling the potatoes or cooking breakfast or whatever, and they start asking you, what are we doing later on? What's for dinner? Then they get accustomed to looking at the board.
I love that idea. I mean, you can put that up in your kitchen. You can put it, you can get what you, a frame. Holder that you would normally put a picture frame on, and you can just put it on that, and every day that's just can become your routine as you're making your coffee, is putting everything for the day like you would do if you had, even people that have children do stuff like that. So I think that that's a great idea. I love it.
I used it with my son when he was in high school.
Yeah.
About basketball games or whatever. I've actually had caregivers that will lay their medication on there, the little pill, you know, put it in a little cup and there's the medication.
Yeah.
And they'll put in there, take your pills at such and such time, or there's your morning pills. It works. It really does work. Trust me, it does.
Oh, my gosh. I love it. That's fabulous. I love solutions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about it. So, Janet,
yes.
Give me number nine.
Number nine is people with dementia may not recognize that there's any of what they're seeing. The term is agnosia. So that when the point that there's a dishcloth on the table, and the person may say, go take the dishcloth, put it in the sink, they don't even recognize that there's a dishcloth. Or they don't recognize the sink. Part of the brain is there's a shortage there.
Okay.
Or a little short circuit. So where they've always had that, it's gone.
Okay.
And they don't have the ability to relearn that. So
they don't recognize what a dish towel is, or they think it's something different. I mean, just explain that a little bit more.
It's blank. It's just gone. So it's like, okay, this piece of paper is laying here on the counter, on this table. They don't recognize that piece of paper as a piece of paper.
Oh, wow.
So it's like our cup of coffee that's here. We can say, get that cup of coffee over there and bring it to me. And they're looking, and they don't see that cup of coffee.
Oh, my gracious.
So that
is completely new information. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Well, what we do, when Janet and I will go into the high schools and try to teach the students what it's like to have dementia, we tell them to pretend they're playing with binoculars like you do when you're a little kid, and you make little fists with little holes in your fist and you look through them. That's what a patient with Alzheimer's sees.
Right.
There's a lot of loss of vision around the edges. And another thing is, if you're too cluttered, we'll say you can't have a countertop in the bathroom that has every piece of makeup and every deodorant and everything. You put the toothpaste, the toothbrush, the lipstick, something else, and it's easier for the person to find. They can't find one thing out of a group of things, especially if there's that time pressure. I just spilled something. Quick, go get me a paper towel. Where's the paper towels? Where do you keep them?
Sheer frustration.
Yeah.
Because the optic nerve is also damaged. So I know all of you are looking through your hands right now, like you're looking through binoculars.
Right.
I'm wanting to as well. But as individuals get older, their vision dims. So it's very, very important to keep up with those eye checks. Go to have your vision checked annually and keep up with those eye appointments.
So vision clearly affects Alzheimer's.
Or is affected by.
Or is affected by.
Kind of both, because we've talked about safety. Here the caregiver has fallen, is lying on the floor and saying, quick, go call 911, and the person's going, where's the phone? And it's why we recommend the caregivers have those lifelines.
Yeah,
but
that's a whole nother program.
That's another program that hopefully we'll put on the docket for another day, right? So I want to take number 8 because this is odd to me, and it definitely affects the overall health of a lot of dementia patients. Sometimes they forget that they've eaten. They will, you know, they'll leave the dinner table and they'll come back a few minutes asking, you know, what's for supper, mm-hmm. even though they should have, you know, basically a full stomach, you would think, right?
Mm-hmm. And that to me is one of the oddest things too, but it's mm-hmm. so common because we can understand, okay, you forgot where we went to lunch. You forgot mm-hmm. that Aunt Patty visited you today or you went for a haircut, but you should have that feeling of fullness. Like,
right.
wow, I just had a full meal. But no, instead they turn around and say, okay, when are we having dinner? When you're just clearing the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, it's very common. And we understand that people forget sometimes that they visited with someone. And so, you know, the caregivers can limit the size on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And the loved ones can, you know, they'll serve two dinners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, yeah, almost like tapas.
Yeah. So, you know.
I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. So they can have the two dinners because it is very strange. Mm-hmm. They'll say that, and, you know, because they don't realize they've had breakfast, lunch, and dinner,
mm-hmm.
or breakfast, right. lunch, and a snack.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to, you know, have a, you know, like a light breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And then a mid-morning snack,
mm-hmm.
because it is strange mm-hmm. to have that in there to where that, you know, instead of having a large breakfast, mm-hmm. just a light breakfast.
And I've noticed a mm-hmm. lot of times seniors do tend to have smaller, more frequent meals.
Yeah, that's true.
That's just mm-hmm. that's yeah. just an observation mm-hmm. on my part.
Yeah.
But it gets scary when you're a caregiver mm-hmm. and you're out and about and all of a sudden somebody says, well, how has your day been? And the person says, I have not eaten anything all day. They haven't given me anything to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to crawl under the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, my mom, for example, part of the forgetting mm-hmm. is she loved Klondike bars. So we had them in the house just all the time.
Yeah.
And every time she ate, would she say, I have not had one of these in years. It's like, Mom, you had one 3 hours ago. There's the wrapper.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a big thing, is forgetting that you ate.
Yeah. Now, it actually has been forever since I've had a Klondike bar. But I remember the jingle.
That's right. That's right.
What would you do for a Klondike mm-hmm. bar? All right. So maybe we'll get some royalties from that. So this brings me to number 7. It's not unusual for dementia patients to crave sweets, right? So, I mean, is that something that starts happening?
Yeah, we okay. see that specifically with Alzheimer's disease. And the trouble is that the sugar can trigger a catastrophic reaction and really make the behavior get worse, the confusion, mm-hmm. the agitation, the irritability, and it's all coming from that sugar high, if mm-hmm. you will.
Yeah. I mean, that happens with, I mean, even children with ADHD or mm-hmm. ADD. So is it something that's similarly connected, just out of curiosity?
On a biochemical, neurochemical level, I don't know.
Okay. I was just wondering, because sugar
but
seems to do
make
that
sense.
With kids,
yeah.
right?
It yeah. would make okay. sense. It's some kind of inflammatory, excitatory
right.
response.
Right.
Yeah. Now, it doesn't mean that you can never have sweets, mm-hmm. thank goodness. However, you know, people will forget that they've eaten a donut, and they'll go back and get another one, and they'll mm-hmm. go back and get mm-hmm. another one, and next mm-hmm. thing you know, they've eaten a half a dozen donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, there's a peak in the behavior,
mm-hmm.
and then there's that drop in that sugar level and
yeah.
the energy and everything else. So mm-hmm. before you know it, and then there's that bleh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and you just completely crash.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and there you go again. They're forgetting that they've eaten, and now it's affecting them in a negative way.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes there's the food jags. You know, for example, they're only eating Kraft macaroni and cheese
mm-hmm.
and Pop-Tarts. And they'll tell the caregiver that they've had a healthy breakfast
mm.
and that they've had a sandwich for lunch, so they deserve what they want.
Mm-hmm. And it's been so long since I've had macaroni and cheese and mm-hmm. a Pop-Tart.
And
it's
a Pop-Tart, like, you know.
You had it this morning.
Yeah, yeah,
you had it yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's where those therapeutic fibs come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the caregiver may tell the family member that they're out of macaroni and cheese
mm-hmm.
and the Pop-Tarts, and I'll get them when I go to the store later on. They'll be here tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I love therapeutic fibs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God forgives them.
Yes, yes, for sure.
You know, and mostly you go along to get along. If the person says, today's Valentine's Day, can we make Valentine cookies? Sure, why not? Doesn't right. matter what day it is. But you gotta draw the line at nutrition. Mm-hmm. And whether that means making Ensure milkshakes, putting out lots of finger food, because a lot of our patients with dementia, they like to grab and go.
Mm-hmm.
So dried fruit, protein bars, anything that's good and healthy, mm-hmm. and a multivitamin.
Yeah.
You know, and they make them in gummies now. They're so much easier.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and then there's hearing, and hearing loss will accelerate memory loss because, you know, the area of the brain that processes hearing will shrink. It's called atrophy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and if it's not stimulated by sound, people will have memory loss and hearing loss. They go downhill really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually think that, you know, my dad had hearing, well, my mom said a hearing loss. He said he just tuned her out. But I'm pretty certain that he had some hearing loss mm-hmm. that he absolutely refused to acknowledge. And I'm fairly certain that that probably contributed to some of his issues with dementia. So I absolutely see that. And I wondered that at the time. So that's definitely good information. And even more reason if you feel like you have, and I feel like men are more apt to not go get their hearing checked.
Mm-hmm.
To really push and encourage those folks that have hearing loss to go get it checked.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so crucial, because if you don't have, then you don't, what said? Yeah, I just messed up our sound guy big time here. If you only hear half of what is being said, you can't possibly know what is going on.
Yes.
So we tell caregivers, mm-hmm. look, you have to face the person. A lot of the thing with the women and men have deeper voices.
Mm-hmm.
So the woman's trying to go up here and talk louder, and, mm-hmm. and they've lost that upper hearing range. So face the person, talk in that deeper voice, that nice deep voice, and make sure there's not a lot of background noise. You mm-hmm. don't start half a sentence and turn away.
Right.
Yeah. And also, you know, people with dementia that often have the hearing aids, they get agitated with something in their ear.
Mm.
They'll take it out, wrap it in a tissue, and throw it away.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, you know, even though if they have the hearing test and they get the hearing aid, it's only as good as if they use it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, well, he's got this hearing aid, she's got these hearing aids, I can't get her to use them.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a drawer.
Yeah.
And so it's only as good as if you're using them.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it is a struggle.
Yeah.
And we recommend inexpensive, they call them pocket talkers.
Mm-hmm.
They look like a little amplifier about the size of a candy cigarette box
mm-hmm.
that we used to have. And you have the headphones or the earbuds, and all they are amplification. So we'll use those in the office when a patient comes in and the family mm-hmm. says, they wouldn't wear their hearing aids today. Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Or you use it when they're watching TV mm-hmm. so they don't have to have the TV mm-hmm. up so loud.
So
they're called pocket talkers.
Pocket talkers.
They're about $40 online, and we've seen them at some of the bigger discount stores, department stores.
Can you find them at like a CVS and a Walgreens maybe?
I have not seen them there.
Okay.
But the bigger, you know, the Walmart.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I was going to mention, if you think someone has potentially a hearing problem and they adamantly deny it, if you walk in and they're listening to the television blaring,
mm-hmm.
That's a big sign.
Yes, it is.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just putting that out there for all the ladies out there whose husbands are men folk say that they hear perfectly fine.
Absolutely.
Well,
true.
And also if you suspect that there's some memory issues and things, and it could be that they're not hearing.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
not hearing as well. I mean, mm-hmm. we've had patients that come in that family swears up and down there's some memory issues, and they're just not hearing.
They're hearing.
What mm-hmm. they're hearing is mm-hmm. their perception, and it's not.
Yeah.
So, you know, they deserve a hearing eval. They deserve the whole
Definitely.
Test.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's amazing.
Janet, we've had some that was earwax.
Yeah.
It wasn't Alzheimer's. It was earwax.
Earwax. Wow.
And now that they could hear, because before they didn't show up at the Village Inn at noon mm-hmm. because they didn't hear it.
Right.
Not that they didn't understand or didn't remember.
Yeah.
And again, ears, eyes, too. Families will say to us, should I get mom or dad checked and have their cataracts done? Yeah. Absolutely, because mm-hmm. seeing is also crucial. You can read, you can watch TV.
Well, even over, you know, with all the masks, mm-hmm. I ran into a gentleman that could not. He read mouths, mm-hmm. and he couldn't hear, but he you know, with everyone masked up, he could hear a little bit, but he read mouths, and mm-hmm. He was saying when we were just talking that people don't realize how much of their actual hearing is
lip reading. And we've heard more people say that.
Because mm-hmm. When you're wearing the mask, it's not necessarily that you can't hear, but a lot of your hearing is actual reading of lips.
Mm-hmm.
So you're connecting the two. So I just thought that was just, I don't know, interesting. But, well, I think we're going to take a break because we're halfway through mm-hmm. our points. So we'll discuss our other five after our break. How's that sound?
Great. Sounds great.
All righty.
Parish Healthcare, we believe every life is poetry in motion, motivated by strength and determination. As your bone, muscle, and joint healthcare partners, we believe in blending the art of healing with the science of medicine to keep your body in motion. We believe in healing patients, healing families, and healing communities. For a free orthopedic health assessment, visit parishhealthcare.com/orthoaware. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life.
Hey, Mom, how's retirement home search coming?
Oh, my gosh. I'm just so stressed out. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, why are you so stressed? What's the matter?
I don't know where to find anything. I just need everything in, like, one place and know what all the options are.
Does the idea of searching for senior housing seem overwhelming? And you just aren't sure where to even begin? SeniorLivingGuide.com has great news for you. We offer a one-stop solution to take the stress out of your senior housing search. At SeniorLivingGuide.com, both our statewide Florida edition book and website are created to make your senior housing search very easy for you to navigate. We provide details on communities, including retirement, assisted living, skilled nursing, memory care, and home health, allowing you to decide which best fits your needs and then connecting you directly with those communities. Visit us online at SeniorLivingGuide.com. And start your search today and start de-stressing.
At Parish Healthcare, we believe in our community. We believe in keeping our community safe. We believe in the art of healing. We believe in healing patients, healing families, healing communities. We believe in the best and brightest working together for the common good. At Parish Healthcare, our team focuses on you as an individual because every life is a work of art to us. Parish Healthcare, where the art of healing comes to life. Visit parishhealthcare.com/healthaware for a free health risk assessment.
Welcome back. So I think we're going to talk about number five. We've been reviewing some different things regarding Alzheimer's and shocking truths. So we're on our fifth one, and this one is something that I wanted to ask you ladies about. So I've heard that Alzheimer's may be the sixth leading cause of death in America. Is this a fact?
That is a fact. And
okay.
When you look at just seniors, it might be an even higher percentage. And our patients will ask us, how is my loved one going to die? How does Alzheimer's mm-hmm. kill people? And the first is what I call the long goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you turn the clock back from adulthood to childhood to babyhood, and you watch that the person forgets how to do things, feed themselves, then forgets how to walk, then forgets how to swallow safely, and they become more helpless, take to their bed, and then just pass away kind of slowly, peacefully.
Mm-hmm.
The other is what we call the big bad. That's when they're pretty stable, they have dementia, and then they have a fall and a mm-hmm. fractured hip, or they get pneumonia or any other big, bad medical surgical problem, and they just either give up mm-hmm. or they just don't recover.
Yeah.
And, you know, and hospice is available, to help families in caring for someone with severe or end-stage dementia. And it also takes over the medical problems that are associated with mm-hmm. end-stage care.
Right.
You know, the weight loss and failure to thrive. Mm. And, you know, one thing with caregivers are asking is, you know, should I ask for an IV? Should mm-hmm. I ask the doctor or a feeding tube? You know, I don't want my loved one to starve to death. They need to eat. And our recommendations are that they not do that because, you know, the patient could aspirate. Mm-hmm. And that means that something could get into the lungs, whether it be the water or the food could mm-hmm. go into the lungs. And it could cause pneumonia and or congestive heart failure with
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and, you know, I had to make that choice with my dad. It was, he's basically starving because he's lost the inability to eat on his own mm-hmm. Due to the dementia. And he was just losing weight, but he literally couldn't eat. And I really just didn't understand that. I'm like, Dad, why can't just eat? I mean, mm-hmm. just move your mouth and eat. And he just would get very upset. I don't know why. I can't do it. I just can't. I mean, he just really didn't understand, and he would get frustrated and I would get frustrated, but I just really had to grasp that he just couldn't do it. And I do think there was some definite giving up and depression mm-hmm. mixed in with that. I'm going to be very honest with that. But they asked me about the choice between hospice and doing a feeding tube, and the reality was I put a feeding tube in him, and I could make that choice. What's the outcome of that? Is there, for me, it was, mm-hmm. it's not going to change anything. He's not going to get better. It's not going to enhance his life in any way. So mm-hmm. that was just, you know, clearly a choice that I made for my father. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I understand that. But it was very strange for me because, you know, I know we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. This in past podcasts, I never realized the inability to not eat was a side effect of mm-hmm. Alzheimer's or yeah. dementia. You just think it's, oh, they start forgetting who you are. They start forgetting where they put their keys. They start forgetting, you know, they go back and they become children. I mean, all those things. I expected all those mm-hmm. things. That I did not expect. So yeah. that is a definite mm-hmm. Change. So let's move on to number four.
Well, let me
okay.
say something here
yes.
because there are guidelines mm-hmm. because the professionals have struggled with this for years. There's a whole list of things called choosing wisely, mm-hmm. and you can find those on the American Geriatric Society website. Just type it in the search bar, and it's what do the studies show? Mm-hmm. And the studies show that people with end-stage dementia, when they are put on tube feedings, mm-hmm. die sooner.
Really?
And some of it is they aspirate the tube feeding. Mm-hmm. The tube feeding is sitting there in the stomach, but it comes up, it goes in the lungs, it causes the pneumonia. Mm-hmm. The IV fluids aren't being processed. So that's where you see the congestive heart failure, where mm-hmm. the person's basically having the fluid sits in their lungs mm-hmm. and they're having a hard time breathing. So the national standard guidelines are you do not
do
tube feedings and IV fluids in someone with end-stage dementia.
Okay. Well, interesting.
Yeah. And the kidneys don't work as well as, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a doctor, but the kidneys don't work as well. So the fluids are going to build up mm-hmm. and it's, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're causing more discomfort.
Yeah, you're causing more yeah. discomfort. They don't process it because they're yeah. not up moving around.
Yeah.
The edema is going to build up in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and what I have seen in my years of experience is that when someone is in the end stage process, they don't get thirsty. Mm-hmm. They don't have those mm-hmm. feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very important, and I stress it, is advanced directives. Mm-hmm. And it's in the advanced directives that's when you talk and you put in there, do you want a feeding tube mm-hmm. Or not? So, you know, have those conversations
yeah.
mm-hmm. early.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so you're not making that decision. So you're not left having to make that decision. You've already made, that person mm-hmm. has already made it. You're just fulfilling their wishes and carrying out that mm-hmm. Directive that they've done.
Yeah, I think yeah. that is an important decision mm-hmm. yeah. or important conversation to have.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I did not have that with
yeah.
my father.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And a lot of people don't, but it's yeah. it's very important.
Yes. And also, they've done studies on people who went on hunger strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that people who haven't eaten for several days, the brain chemicals change almost to a euphoria. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you and I think about, oh, I've got these hunger pains and I mm-hmm. feel like I'm going to pass out and I'm so thirsty and so on. No, mm-hmm. those sensations aren't there.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So the person's comfortable.
Yeah, they are. And there's not pain associated with mm-hmm. it.
Right.
Okay.
Right, definitely. So, and that's what you want. You want, no, to exactly. me, pain-free, the most pain-free you can have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you made the right decision.
Oh, I 100% believe yeah. I did. I yeah. would have never mm-hmm. gone a different route. Yeah. There was no way I was going to do that.
Yeah.
So let's go to number four. It's very meaningful as well to me because patients with dementia have a reality that is different from ours. So do you want to expand on what that means?
Yeah, because we have to help caregivers understand this mm. because we're always saying you have to meet them where they are. Mm-hmm. Don't try to bring them to where you are. If the patient says, I work in the garden every day because that's what they've done every day for decades, then okay. Mm-hmm. That just go along with it. Mm-hmm. That's their reality. Now, our medical term is confabulation, mm-hmm. the same root word of fabulous and fable, because this is my reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, probably 20 years from now, you'll say, what did you do today? Well, I saw patients mm-hmm. because that's what I do. Yeah. That's who I yeah. am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll be called Doc.
Oh, yeah. Well, better be.
you know, even, and this is my son, even when he was 3 and 4, and this is where I think people have to really understand this. He was 3 or 4 years old. My son used to tell people every day, I would take my daughter to school. We would drive by this car lot that had these, like, NASCAR flags. It was a used car junkie car lot. And he would tell people that he went to race car school, and that was his school.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And yeah. you know what? Did we tell him no to this 3-4-year-old? No, you don't. You don't go to that school. We're like, yeah, sure you do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we went along with that till he outgrew it, but we let him have it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he thought he was all that in a bag of chips because he went to race car school while his big sister and the friends that we dropped mm-hmm. off at school and, you know, she and all the other kids were like going, go along with it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're looking at him like he's bonkers, but you know what? We let him have it. He loved it. And, you know, eventually he outgrew it. And it's now something we tease him about at 24 years old. But the reality is you let them have it. Mm-hmm. Let them enjoy the space that they're in, and you just go along with it.
You know he's going to hurt you for telling this story. He is going to hurt you.
He might.
Yeah, he will.
He might.
Okay. And it's very interesting that on the memory test, one of the questions we ask is what year it is. Mm-hmm. And we get you can tell a whole lot about a person by them telling us what year it is. You know, if they say it's 1942, mm-hmm. Their husband's out, gone to war, and mm-hmm. you know, and so that old man that's there, they don't know who he is. They're scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or the daughter that brought him to the office, they think that's their sister. Mm. And so it is that, so they don't remember what's going on. They remember what's going on in 1940.
Yeah.
Or what's going on. They don't know what's mm-hmm. going on now. They don't mm-hmm. recognize the mm-hmm. The things on TV. Mm-hmm. We'll tell them to, you know, watch the old movies, this sort of thing. So reality orientation used to be what we would recommend that they bring it. Bring them into your world. Mm-hmm. No, we go into their world. And so that's what we recommend.
Yeah.
You know, it's just if they think it's Easter, then we talk about Easter.
Because they will, I mean, at least mm-hmm. in my experience, they will argue with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it gets them frustrated and it gets them upset.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I know that, you know, it's some of my beginning experiences, you know, my dad said that my mom had been gone like 30 years, passed away, and she'd mm-hmm. been not even gone a year. And I'm like arguing with him because I'm honestly shocked and hurt. Mm-hmm. And he got very upset and frustrated because I'm arguing with him over something that he believes is a fact. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm realizing, okay, something is really just like bonkers here. So, I mean, I really realized that you don't argue with him mm-hmm. and you let him have it. But that was the beginning of my journey.
Yeah. And a lot of people will feel guilty mm-hmm. because they get it. They know unless something's on fire, don't argue. If the person mm-hmm. says, that's the horse I used to ride when I was a little kid. Okay, that was the horse you used to ride.
Right.
You know, you're going to fail sometimes
yeah.
as a caregiver. You're going to say the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong tone of voice. Just pick yourself up. Mm-hmm. Keep going. it's okay. You will wear yourself out because you're not arguing with the person. You're arguing with the disease.
Yeah.
And the disease always wins.
Yes. I like that. That is a quote right there. Mm-hmm. You're not arguing with a person. You're arguing with a disease, and the disease always wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if they say they want to go home, you know, home may be where they grew up. Mm-hmm. Home may be in Ohio where they grew up on the farm with their mom and five sisters, mm-hmm. and the dad worked the farm.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh no, we're not going home. You live here. You're at home. Find out what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask for stories. You know, mm-hmm. find out. Well, what do you want to go to home? We can't go up there right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but just find out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say no. We're not going. It's you live here. Blah blah blah. Because, mm-hmm. like you say, you're going to make them agitated. There's a white piece of paper laying right here that I got my hand on. But if they say this piece of paper's red, it's red.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So patients may not, this is number three. So we kind of talked about this just a few seconds ago, but they may not recognize their home or their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
And
we dealt with this with my mom. Lived in the same house 30 years, grew up next door to this house. All of a sudden, one day she said, we don't live here. Where is this place? Why don't we just go home?
Mm.
My dad put all the pictures of everybody growing up, wedding photos, graduation. He put a sign up that said, this is our home. Broke his heart.
Yeah.
And that was just one of the toughest stages we went through.
Mm. Yeah, I can't imagine that. I definitely didn't experience that, but my dad would always say, where is home? He would ask me that, where
mm-hmm.
is home?
Mm-hmm. And where is home, Janet?
Home is a location, not a destination.
Mm-hmm.
And home is where they feel comfortable and where they feel safe. Mm-hmm.
It's mm-hmm. not an address.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've actually had caregivers that have put their loved one in a car and drive around the block.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, that's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
They'll see their name on, you know, that's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, because it's breaking that little mm-hmm. pattern or that little, getting off that roller coaster, if you will.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. it's just breaking it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And along with the home, it's when they don't recognize their caregiver. And for some people, that's the breaking point. They say, I won't put mom or dad or my husband or wife away until they don't recognize me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you change as the caregiver.
Oh, yes. That's it. And it's interesting because they may not recognize their wife or their husband, but there's the good. And then that person becomes two people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like Jenny and Virginia,
mm-hmm.
or Kate and Catherine,
mm-hmm.
or there's Ronnie and Ronald. So mm-hmm. there's two people.
You're nice, you're Ronnie, but that Ronald guy who tells me what to do, I hope he doesn't come by today.
Yeah, I'm going to tell on you.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to tell that you told me what to do. You mm-hmm. told me to eat. You told me to take my pills. I'm going to tell on you.
You become Nurse Ratched.
Yeah, I'm going to tell. I'm mm-hmm. going to tell.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I've had caregivers that have talked about their loved one actually sitting the table and sitting three place settings.
Mm.
You know, for the good one, because you're the bad mm-hmm. one.
And again, if you think it's 1975 and you're 35 years old, and that old man, that can't be my husband. My husband's at work. My kids are coming home from school.
Mm-hmm.
So the world just stops making sense, and mm-hmm. everything gets confused.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And if they think they're going upstairs to go to bed, and you live on a one-story
mm-hmm.
thing,
mm-hmm.
you just go with the flow.
Yep.
I'm going upstairs to go to bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
You don't say, we don't have an upstairs. You know, blah, 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 right. blah, blah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. To me, that's just easier to do. Just go with the flow than argue.
But people are afraid they're lying to their mom or dad.
Right.
Just like the confabulation, mm-hmm. people say, my mother is telling lies.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's not.
No.
She's in her reality.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
She doesn't like me.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not about you. It's mm-hmm. not about you right now.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. It's not about
you. It's not about you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So speaking of arguments,
because
clearly lots of those are happening, the number two shocking thing really is how patients will refuse to bathe and change their clothes. And this has to be so exhausting and embarrassing for people that are caring for them.
It is. And We see this with so many patients, including my mom, and we couldn't pinpoint, and you seldom can, why won't you take a shower?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just took one yesterday. I took one this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a shower. I don't do anything to get dirty, so I don't need a shower. I work in air conditioning all day. I don't need a shower.
Mm-hmm.
Clipping your nails. Mom, we got to clip your nails. Oh, no, your dad likes my nails long.
Mm-hmm.
So there was just a fight over all these basic things.
Yeah, and your mom had a favorite dress.
She did.
She had this favorite dress, and it was the blue dress. Everybody that knew her knew this blue dress.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was her dress.
And the amazing thing about that dress, it never got dirty.
No, it didn't.
Never. She just had to wipe off the neckline a little bit, and the rest of it always stayed clean.
Yeah.
And some of that, well, we should have included this. I guess it's number 11. Loss of sense of smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, and, you know, and her vision changed.
Yep.
So she didn't see the the little stain on it, but, you know, the washcloth with the the wiping it off, and, you know, you use the time that when she's there, but, you know, her sense of smell changed too.
Mm-hmm.
So she didn't smell the odor that may be, or someone with dementia doesn't smell it, and so you make sure that you do what you can.
And how do we deal with this? Well, people will say, but I bought all new clothes. I bought new shoes. I bought all this fresh stuff, and they're wearing this ratty old thing.
But the new clothes are not what they recognize.
They are not my clothes. They are somebody else's clothes.
Right.
Somebody stole my clothes, and they brought these things in here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to wear the ratty clothes, and they don't want to wear the new things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But a way around all that is that you buy four of the same things so that you can switch it out.
Yeah.
Yep. We had several blue dresses after a while. And one would come off and get whisked away into the laundry, and another one would magically appear.
Right. So you have to find some workarounds regarding the clothes. This is all completely new to me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And, you know, and the ratty clothes disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they're incontinent or having problems with incontinence, you know, I will tell caregivers, and I know that Dr. Trinity does as well, to take all the underwear out and put in pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
The adult pull-ups.
Adult pull-ups.
These are the new underwear.
Because, you know, thank God they're now, you know, they've got flowers on them. They're different colors. You know, for the women, they're beige or pink. For the men, they're the beautiful shade of gray. And just take all the underwear out and put those in. Oh, they'll never wear them. Yes, they will.
Yeah, because that's what's there.
That's what's there.
But
don't be surprised when the wet underwear comes off and it gets stuffed in a drawer, or it gets hung up over a line or over the bathtub or the towel rack. Again, shocking but common behavior.
Okay.
And they'll try to wash it out because they've always washed their underwear out and hung it up to dry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not so great.
No.
Yeah.
So as a caregiver, you need to keep your eyes peeled.
Okay. So that is a good thing to notate, because I don't think people all probably realize that might be happening. So one of the things you mentioned is the showering. So we talked in the very beginning, number one, about the whiteboard. So remembering the showering, is that something you can put on the whiteboard as a task?
Well, you can put it on the whiteboard, but we always recommend a calendar.
Okay.
And then on the calendar, it's, you know, Monday and Thursday or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and put it on the doctor, because they can get frustrated with the doctor, but they're not going to get mad at you as the caregiver or a spouse.
Okay.
And
you can't get mad at a calendar.
No. No. And, you know, they're going to say, well, I just took one. I just took a shower yesterday. But, you know, Dad, it's here on the calendar that you need to take a shower today. And they can get mad at you, but they're not going to get, but the calendar is tangible.
Right. Now, one thing that we had that I had for my dad, and it made like the world of difference, because one thing he did to me is, what day is it? 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 Till I was, he would call me and ask me, what day is it? And I'm like, going, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my mind. I bought this really large clock that was, I want to say, probably 12 by 6 for those folks listening that can't see what I'm doing with my hands. And it had literally on there Monday. It had the time. And it had Monday spelled out, January 5th, 2021, in really large letters. I mean, it was digital. So that, and it would have, I think it would say rain or sunshine. It was very simplistic in weather. It wasn't like 80% chance, because that would have been painful for him. But it would just say if it was going to be rainy, cloudy, or sunshine. I think it had like three options for what the weather might be like. But it was a very large digital product. I got it off of Amazon. It wasn't anything fancy. It was pricey though, but it was something that he could see it. It was in a main part of the house, and he stopped asking me what day it was, because it would literally say Thursday spelled out, and then the date spelled out. So I thought that that was really nice. So if there's ever any question, well, how do I know that today is whatever day? So he could really keep track of what day, what the days were.
And that's money well spent.
It was it was the best money well spent.
And sometimes, speaking of money well spent, sometimes you have to hire somebody to help your loved one take that shower and say, the nurse is coming today. To help you take that shower. And Janet said, put it on me many, many times. I will examine the patient and very truthfully say, you know what? You've got this cracked, dry skin. You have a skin condition. We need you to shower three times a week with a moisturizing soap like Dove or Oil of Olay. We need you to use a moisturizing lotion to prevent infection. Because if that skin gets cracked, you get the cellulitis, the local skin infection, you know, to prevent ringworm, all these other things. And that's accepted. It's a medical problem. It's not somebody telling you, oh, you're dirty and you need to take a shower. It's somebody saying, you have a skin condition. And I'm sure some of my colleagues would be more than happy to put that on paper for you as a prescription.
Yeah, that's super important.
And to use the scrunchie and, you know, get rid of that dead skin.
Yeah, and you'll feel, and they'll feel better, you would think. You know, you just feel more comfortable. So we're getting to our number one shocking thing on the list that is part of how to diagnose dementia is looking at the patient's feet. So how does that work?
This is what I tell my medical students, that over the years, families will tell me that, you know, their loved one is just fine. They're managing okay. Okay, great. Let's take off their shoes and socks. And some of them will say, well, gee, I've never seen my mom or dad's feet.
Yeah.
You take them off, you have a snowstorm of dead skin just falling all over everywhere. When the nails get very thick and curling, we call them ram's horn, because that's what they look like. And, and there's been ulcers, there's poor circulation. You know, I've met folks who literally had not taken their socks off in 3 months. And that tells me, okay, this person really isn't taking care of themselves. There is a problem with dementia. And the family then realizes, oh, wait, they're not eating three healthy meals a day. They're not paying their bills. They're not taking care of themselves. Because looking at those feet just kind of hits it home.
It's kind of a tell-all.
It is. It is a tell-all.
So do you recommend, just out of curiosity, if you have... if you're taking care of someone with dementia, getting pedicures? I mean, not where you're getting your nails painted, but just getting, you know, clipped and rubbed, you know, getting that massage and even just the dead skin off, just like something of that nature?
Yeah, pedicures are great and they're a great outing.
I think that's an amazing idea.
Podiatrists... Medicare pays for podiatrists to cut nails if the person has diabetes or a circulation problem, because you know, the pedicurists don't want to risk cutting a diabetic's toe because of the infection. But the, that's who, and the podiatrist can often just cut the nails. They will charge cash money because it's not covered, but otherwise pedicures, lovely.
So I think that's a really nice idea, and that's a nice outing to do. So
We recommend that families look at their loved one's feet. You know, do it every day, every week. They need to do it every day and make sure that there's no breakdown, that they're changing their socks, that their feet are clean and dry. And, you know, if the spouse isn't checking it, then, and they're living alone, you know, or even if they're in assisted living.
Mm-hmm. You know. Especially if they're in assisted living.
Yeah. I mean, we've had folks in assisted living that they didn't want to take a shower. They didn't want to change mm-hmm. their clothes. And, you know, and the staff can't make them. Mm-hmm. So make sure that they're keeping their feet clean mm-hmm. and dry.
But on the other hand, families can kind of judge, is my loved one getting care, by looking at their feet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, wait a minute, I'm paying $5,000 a month and their toes are sticking together and it's nasty. And so they can then go back to the facility and see what's going on.
Yeah. Right. Definitely. So I think we're going to wrap this up. But in conclusion, there are many things that caregivers or family members are thinking are unique situations when these symptoms are happening to most, if not all, patients with dementia. Mm-hmm. Things like, you know, only eating sweets, refusing bathing, asking to go home. These things are common. Do you have any more thoughts that you'd like to share?
Well, you know, maybe you're shocked by your loved one's behavior, but, you know, don't be. And neither are we as professionals. Call for help. Get to a support group. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that you can bring to us that we haven't heard before.
Yeah.
And we're here to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
That, I think reaching out and asking mm-hmm. for help, and there's so many resources. Don't be afraid to do it, and actually make the effort to do it, because I know some people think it's out there, but they don't take the mm-hmm. time to do it, mm-hmm. and you just get lost in your crazy everyday life. But make that part of a schedule where you make that make that call.
And I know there's folks that's listening all over everywhere, and mm-hmm. they're not available to us.
Sure.
But, you know, look in your community. Mm-hmm. Find a good geriatric physician mm-hmm. and reach out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You're not alone.
You're never alone. Mm-hmm. You're never alone. All right, so I think we're going to wrap that up. And I just want to mention, if you enjoyed this podcast, we have many, many more podcasts regarding Alzheimer's dementia and a lot of other subjects that are related to seniors and their caregivers. Please look us up, seniorlivingguide.com podcast. We are available most anywhere you listen to music or podcasts, such as Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Thank you and have a great day.